Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله. La ilaha illallah.
Allahumma rabbi hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salatu qa'imati ma'amil al-masil wal-badil wa darajata wa barubah muqam wa kuna yadhi wa adda. Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah alladhi anzala alayna kitab mubin. وكان آخر ما نزل من آياته اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله بعضه في الأميين رسول منهم يعلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Dear beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته وجمعة مبارك الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن آتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم رب الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بشمس من المشرق فأت بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي الظالمين قوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم الله the mighty has spoken the truth Alhamdulillah today we will continue with the topic the science and the truth the science of truth and reality and this is the 27th part and there is something very special about today for all, recognized or not, this is February 26th, and February 26th is a very special day. Indeed, I have come, even in my preparation for this, I woke up with this idea dominating me today. There's a cosmic celebration going on. We won't be able to get into all of it, but for me, the next 4 days are going to all be orbiting around the significance of this day and what's connected with it. More details as we go on. Alhamdulillah, the connection that we like to make and take at this juncture with this subject is what is at the heart and the core of the subject, and that is truth. And truth is best defended by the laws of nature. The laws of nature being called upon in defense of truth are the best weapons against falsehood. That's what we see in this story in 258, the whole series of verses, of course, that we talked about, but particularly 258, Surah Al-Baqarah, in his argument with Nimrod. And the idea that Nimrod made claims that he had no right to make. And so Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, undermined his claim by a reference to nature, by a reference to the laws of nature. I go on to say by reference to the immutable laws of nature. Alhamdulillah, in the same way, I'm going to give this beginning frame to what I'm saying. But again, today is only going to be one part. If you stay with us and you're in touch with us from here through Monday, for sure, inshallah. I'm getting the message that there's no audio. That's what I'm. So let's go ahead and solve that problem. I don't have. Last time it was a mute. So let me check my own pockets. And so everything is green. It's not saying mute. I got signal here. I don't see green on this one right here. Hello. Down at the bottom. Okay. So. All right. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. We plan, Allah's already planned. Man, there's so much that I could say about that, but it would take us away. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Abdulaziz. Alhamdulillah. So back to where we were. Let's say you haven't missed much. You heard the introduction and that part. Alhamdulillah. Yes, the blog talk has been fine. Thank you. Okay. Good. So I am saying to you today through our broadcast on Monday, I want you to see them as one whole. Alhamdulillah, our ritual obligation, of course, today, Jum'ah, et cetera, keeping it connected with the subject of the science and truth of reality. All right, so I'd like to bring in an expression of Surah 21, and Surah 21 is Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya, that is the chapter of the prophets. Al-Anbiya 21, Ayah 30, says, this is an expression of it, unbelievers see that the heavens and the earth were joined together as one unit of creation before we clove them asunder, meaning we separated them. We made from water every living thing. Will they not then believe? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, this Big Bang theory was a theory and is a theory that was conceived in the early 20th century. And the idea of what accounts for the origin of cosmos, what accounts for the origin of the cosmos. And so science came to accept science as we identify it as an institution, came to accept that it began from what they call a singularity. That singularity is something that existed, something that came to exist, or there was a point in time where there was nothing and then there was something. And that point was called the singularity. It wasn't completely accepted. In fact, it wasn't taken as substantiated and permanent and formal until the 60s. It wasn't until the 60s that it was accepted. But I'm pointing out to you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that reality in this Surah Al-Anbiya, on Ayah 30, to say that it was a big bang that brought the reality, the cosmos, the universe that you see. It was brought about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing it into existence. And yes, it was created by a creator. In the ensuing period of time, from the time it was the Big Bang theory was conceptualized in the early 20th century and the 50 years that preceded before it became quote-unquote orthodoxy, there was a battle for it. And one of the primary battles were the materialists who wanted to keep God out of the arena of knowledge and thought and consideration, et cetera, and believing that all of the answers for reality, such as it were, can be derived through physics and chemistry and neurology and those kinds of sciences. So they said, well, there need not be any God involved. Indeed, they were saying that creation has no purpose. Creation is self-created, many would argue in that way. But alhamdulillah, the reality is created the skies and the earth in what, by in their language, would be called a Big Bang. So we're bringing this in to the question on this particular day, because new worlds have been created, and those new worlds get created from varying grades and levels and locations of Big Bang. On this day, there was a Big Bang, February 26, 1975. That was a Big Bang. But there were Big Bangs before that, and I'm just going to speak to an outline. Now, one of the things that I promised myself, and I'll do it right now, I said, well, look, this is going to be unorthodox, even though the terminology itself, orthodox, is a phrase that has been coined and that has gained in the world, because it simply is a term that's been accepted and used. And so the idea of what is orthodox and what is unorthodox is governed by the people who create and who sustain that particular language. So I'm saying, based on that language and those who use that as a paradigm for their judgments and evaluations of things Islamic, this is going to be unorthodox, okay? So I want to give you just a brief outline, which I know, mashallah, Allahu alam, we'll not necessarily cover it all, as I've already said. Hopefully it doesn't take 4 days. But looking at this outline, I can see that, yeah, it might be just right to do it in 4 days. Allahu a'lam. We'll see. Each one of these represents a Big Bang, right? The Atlantic slave trade and making its worst outcome or its ultimate fruit to be the so-called Negro. The Atlantic slave trade and the ultimate outworking of that, its product, its end result, being the so-called Negro, Big Bang number one. Big Bang number two, Farad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. That's Big Bang number two. Out of each one of these, a new world came. Atlantic slave trade created a new world. And I say also that all of this, even when I get to the end of this listing of four, taking it as a table of contents of sorts, that when I get to that, I want you to understand, you know this language from us now, abstract. All these four, as I lay them out, they're abstract. They are truth without details. So there is a lot of history and a lot of details to be unpacked from each one of these, and it's not my intention to do so. However, there is a compact boundary that's justified in the way that we structure it in terms of the Atlantic slave trade, with its ultimate product being the Negro born in the experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives, as Imam Muhammad describes it. That was the ultimate outcome. And so, and that was, and in so many instances, that is the problem to be solved. Well, enter the second Big Bang. The second Big Bang was the Farad Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. That also brought about another world. That brought about a new world. And from that, you got another product. And then the third of these was February 26, 1975 was when Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, I'm not giving you the details now, I'm just giving you the table of contents. When Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, who came to be known in that moment as the chief minister, but in reality, that was when Imam Muhammad was born into this community and before the world at large. Yes, I know that there were those who experienced him in their cities before February 26, 1975. The February 26, 1975 was the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended that the world meet Wallace D. Muhammad. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Number four is what's going on right now. There's a Big Bang that is going on right now, and a new world is being created there as well. So these four, and to make it a little simpler and a little easier in my view to grasp this, I'm going to have one symbol that's going to run through this entire thing. I think I got a little itch in my head right here. See, this is my homage to the Imam. Got a little tightness to it. It's good. So we all have to remember the symbols that we've been given. When we read the signals, you got to learn how to move on the signal that you've been given. And if you forgot the symbol, then you're like, you are like Adam, because you were told what to do when a given signal is given, then you respond. In any case, the axioms that we are driven from are references to the law of nature in defense of truth to destroy falsehood. And there's one symbol that I'm going to use throughout, and it's mud. Mud. In all four of these, there's mud. And inshallah, may Allah bless us and guide us to the best understanding of it. So, Big Bang number one, right? Big Bang number one is the Atlantic slave trade to the Negro. And that was a massive, massive project. So many places you can go to look and find and get the details. And those have been given, and they are most often given in the month of February, all the details that are given. So there's no dearth, as we say, of examples, models, information, and sources that you can find this explanation. What did the actual Atlantic slave trade actually comprised, and what did it actually bring about? Well, the greatest, I have to use that term, I could say the most grotesque outcome. But again, the part of this is just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one, it says the skies and the earth were joined together, and then they did he clove it asunder. So that was the beginning. And what you'll recognize about the Big Bang is it is a kind of, or it is a type of creation through destruction. It's a kind of creation through destruction. I put it that way, but don't make that hard and fast, because it is the act of creating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he creates from nothing. That nothing is the way we understand it. When he desires a plan, he simply says to it, be, and it is. So it was, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought into existence by his word what didn't exist before. So what did he do? Now listen to the quote, let's call it semantics, the language. It said he destroyed nothing when he created. So when people, when you say this is after we come into the world as it exists, certain laws apply, certain expressions apply, but at that point of the what the scientists call the singularity, at the point of what has been identified as the Big Bang, Allah destroyed nothing. Stop right there. Allah destroyed nothing. So we say if all acts of creation are acts of creative destruction, well, yeah, you can say that in this world. See, because what the shaitan will come behind you and say, yeah, look, like God brought about destruction. He brought about destruction in order to bring about creation. And so then the shaitan, we got language like, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. But all that philosophy, that rationale is designed to say, okay, I'm going to do some wrong right here, but the wrong that I'm doing right here, it's a necessary wrong for me to do. And a lot of what's going on and what we're saying has to be read and understood inside of that thinking. But we're at the very beginning of creation, so the language itself, in order to say it, you have to say that God destroyed nothing in order to create. So was Allah's creation destructive? No, because he destroyed nothing. He created. And what he created, now all the laws apply. All the laws apply. So this argument, when we have more latitude, we'll spend more time with it, with that aspect of it from the scientific point of view. But let it be understood that the creation of the Negro was the creation of the mud that was intended to be the foundation of this quote-unquote new world, the so-called new world that was dependent upon the fuel for its construction and dependent upon putting this new property, this new creation of their new world in order to sustain it, which we are continuing even now, today, to experience the continued outworking of that constructed place, you can call it a caste system, that constructed place for the Negro. And in that the first resurrection, as we call it, which is the second Big Bang, we were told that Negro means to never grow, to never grow. And that was always the motivation. That was always the intention of those who brought about, yes, destruction for their creation, the creation that they wanted to make in a new world. They had to despise. They had to dehumanize human beings. They had to destroy cultures. They had to destroy histories. They had to destroy languages. They had to destroy identities in order to use that material to construct their world and then structure a formal place out of which they never intended for their newly made creature to arise from. And what defines that, the defining statement about that ultimate outworking, is called the mud seal theory. Now, I'll read it in just a moment, but I want to go back to a statement from Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, He said that we have been subjected to an experimental clinic designed to cause us function in the vital areas of our lives. You remember we talked about falsehood is unnatural. But it's not only that falsehood is unnatural, falsehood is anti-nature. Falsehood is anti-nature. And for falsehood to be anti-nature, for a thing to be anti-nature and thereby evil, the evil of it is its animosity towards the nature of the human being. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about shaitan as being one who is adu'un mubin, one who is an open enemy to man, that is to say that Satan is the one who is an enemy to the destiny of man, an enemy to the nature of man, an enemy to the role of man, and his main weapon, falsehood. Get a little water here. Pardon. So we're going to get to number two, inshallah. But so when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam and under the direction of the myth of Farad Muhammad said that the white man is the devil, there was something to that, okay? So we were subject to an experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in the vital areas of our lives. So the mudfield theory was a theory that was laid out by a U.S. senator in 1858. This is recorded and presented by Isabel Wilkerson in her book, Caste, The Origins of Our Discontent. I read it. It says, this is the senator talking, right? He says, when a house is being built, the single most important piece of the framework is the first wood beam hammered into place to anchor the foundation, called the mud sill, M-U-D-S-I-L-L. The sill plate that runs along the base of a house and bears the weight of the entire structure above it, the studs and subfloors, the ceilings and windows, the doors and roofing, all the components that make a house are built on top of the mud sill. In a caste system, the mud sill is the bottom caste that everything else rests upon. A Southern politician declared this central doctrine from the floor of the U.S. Senate in March. He said, in all social systems, there must be a class to do the menial duties, to perform the drudgery of life. Senator James Henry Hammond of South Carolina told his fellow senators. Continuing, he said, that is a class requiring a low order of intellect, but a little skill. Its requisites are vigor, docility, fidelity. Such a class you must have. It constitutes the very mud seal of society. He exalted cunning of the South, which he said had found a race adapted to that purpose to her hand, meaning that we have found one perfect for this role. Our slaves are black, of another and inferior race. The status in which we have placed them is an elevation. They are elevated from the condition in which God first created them by being made our slaves. That was the mindset. That was the mentality. This, brother and sister, this was, what is it, 1619 minus 1858? Do the math. So you got 39 years after the Atlantic slave trade brought the first of its chattel onto these shores. Unless you go with Yaqub 1555, mashallah. We're not going to argue that point. The point is, we know it was more than two centuries, right? More than two centuries, and he's saying that. And today, the marches, the protests, the media campaign, and all of that are pushing, are attempts to continue to push back against that foundational doctrine under which most of this society operates in consensus trance, being led around by it. And let me say this as time moves on. I invited you to, we talked about falsehood was unnatural, right? And we talked about falsehood as anti-natural. And we used the verse from Surah 34, the Surah 34, 49, to point out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that falsehood neither creates nor does it, it doesn't originate, nor does it reproduce, nor does it recreate, procreate. And I told you to go take a look at it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but you can look it up. A mule, I'm pretty sure a mule is the one. Donkey, natural. Horse, natural. Mule, unnatural. Mule is a product of a cross between a horse and a donkey. I'm not going to try to work it out for you in terms of me. I don't have it in front of me. I don't know if it was the male donkey and the female mare, or the female donkey and the male stallion, whatever. Work it out. That mule is a combination of a horse and a donkey by whatever matchup, right? And because it has some of the qualities of the donkey bred into some of the qualities of a horse. And that was for the purpose of being able to get particular work out of that particular creature that needed to be done in the environment as it was at that time. The mule is unnatural, and they are, by and large, sterile. Sterile. They don't reproduce. There is supposedly some historic case from someone where it was produced, one that happened to create another generation after, whatever. But see, that's an exception that proves the rule. The fact is that it creates in its unnatural formulation, in the falsehood out of which it came, and the product that came from that false mixing, it produced something that doesn't procreate. So that tells you that the phenomena itself is falsehood, right? But then now ask yourself, why today is the donkey, they give us the donkey, that's a mule. Stop looking at it like a dog. It's a mule. Democrat, mule. Oh, man, you shouldn't say that. We just got mule, okay? And both of them, the elephant and the mule, are pack animals for somebody else that owns both of those domesticated creatures, all right? Don't think that. Don't think that whoever's on top, whoever you see out front, is the power. That's not the power, but we're not going to stay there. Okay, so the point is that's the first bit of mud. That's that first mud. So we were made into the mud seal of this society, and keeping, quote-unquote, Belalians, I prefer Belalians, in their place is a part of the whole mission. Law enforcement, other kinds of business structures, education, the system, the entire, that's the house. That's the house. And if the mud seal decides that it doesn't want to be a mud seal anymore, then the house is going to fall. So the idea is that all that could possibly be done, by all means possible, was and is being done to keep the mud seal. That has not changed. So let that be understood to be that first big bang.
Now, this Negro, the product of that experimental clinic designed to cause us to dysfunction in vital areas of our life, yes, Negro was made just like that mule was made. Understand that. And once that product was achieved, so now we're in, quote, Black History Month, which was formerly Negro History Month, which was formulated by Carter G. Woodson, who spoke of eloquently in his publication, Miseducation of the Negro, that once you control a man's mind, you don't have to worry about his behavior. Because once you control his thinking, then he's going to automatically do what fits in the thinking that you've given him. And that's the role that the education system has played. And that's why he was pointing back to those who had been so-called educated and how they continue to be the mud seal by other descriptions and in another place to be gatekeepers for the values and the ideals and the function and the leadership of the people who created the conditions that Carter G. Woodson and others like W.E.B. Du Bois and others were fighting against to transform. So that the next big bang, the next and most transforming, the new world, a new world that was created, was a world that was created in the conjunction of the Farad, Elijah Muhammad, and the Nation of Islam. This day had been historically identified as Savior's Day among those people. Savior's Day. Now, alhamdulillah, there are different readings that people have for it today. There is the Nation of Islam of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Nothing that I should say, you know, it's like, hey, man, y'all know a long time ago, this is not out of fear, this is out of respect, okay? Because you reverence the wolves that bore you, and I'm speaking of the idea, the intent, the motivation, the spirit, the ethos intended by that whole way of being, which gave birth to me, such as I am. No disrespect in that. So if anything that can be read as disrespectful, it's not intended. Tumult and oppression is worse than slaughter. So there's a lot that I could say about that, but I don't want to stay there. Point is that there was something new, and I'm gonna footnote for my Monday folks, inshallah. I don't know if this idea is going to survive. I got it laid out, inshallah. But my Monday folks, get ready. This is it. Muhammad is Satoshi Nakamoto. All right. Set that aside right there. It's already there. Sorry, inshallah, we do that. Now that being said, like this, this is one of the reasons that it's important to me that we say this on this day, and in this forum, in this sacred day for all Muslims, this Jumu'ah. A sacred day for all Muslims, and not feel that reality should not be honored in this place, at this time, on this floor, on this forum. I think that you disregard and you disrespect and you are ungrateful for the grace that Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim has actually shown you by even being able to stand up here and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and say that, and actually practice Jumu'ah, and practice Salat, and practice Zakat, and the rest of the principles, and to believe in Allah, and to believe in the messengers, and to believe in the angels, and to believe in the books, and to believe in the measure, and to believe in life after death, and have it right, and have the aqidah straight, and to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any intercessors, That is only possible because of what happened on this day 46 years ago. Don't even be frightened. I'm going to calm down. Let me drink some water. Drink some water. It's been enough. Don't even be front. I'm going to get to you. Inshallah. You want to make it all about Malcolm. I'm not going to stay there. You want to make it all about Malcolm. That's Malcolm. Alhamdulillah. You want to make it all about somebody was before Farad. Somebody was, and it was, the Muslim was always here. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you when you're talking. But I let you shoot your shot, then. I got to put it on that, what was that? One of them Avengers? When the dude first. let me get away from that. MashaAllah. We'll get to that, inshallah. We'll see. All right. So, back to. Okay. That was a big bang. That was a big bang. Farah Muhammad's a big bang. Listen. When you have people who come to a man, a voice, a message, an idea, people who are addicted to alcohol, people who are addicted to hard drugs, people who are addicted to wasteful ways of life, and they sit down and they listen to a message one time, and all that's over? Come on. You haven't seen nothing like that. No matter who you talk about, if the record does not show that it was that had that kind of impact on the people that came to it. People come to it for the first time. You want to talk about healing, you know what I'm saying? Laying on hands, whatever you want to call it. Nation of Islam and that doctrine that as was given at that time, one shot, bam. Wasn't for everybody, but there are so many miraculous examples of that. And that was what was done there. Oh, I got it. But that wasn't Islam. And that was history. Yes and no. Got it. But the point is that what Farad brought and what Elijah Muhammad, one such example as we're speaking of right now, a man who is heavily, a heavy drinker. Alcohol was his daily drink. His wife would bring him home some day, small, slight woman, bring him on like a sack of potatoes on her shoulder and drop him on the bed. That man heard the message one time. And what? No, let me go back. Maybe I'll, let me see. No, done. So, and then what he brings to the story and what he brought to the scene, unparalleled, unequaled. I mean, in part, you can do it like, we have to finish up. You can do it like that regular rotation Christmas song, Christmas movie that they play, It's a Wonderful Life, Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life, George, whatever is that. He didn't get to live the life he wanted to live. I just want to die, blah, blah, blah. And then he was shown, okay, this is what the world would look like if you died. If you committed suicide, this is what the world would look like. And I want you think about this. Take the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and you don't have the Honorable Elijah Muhammad without Farah Muhammad. It is what it is. That's a part of the scientific dimension of what we're talking about, too. Past dependency. Look that up. This is scientific. Past dependency. You can't erase history. That happened. And the strength of what continues to happen is on the basis of the fact that thing happened first. You can't take that out of history. That's why many of these time travel movies don't work. I mean, they work if you don't think about the fact that how could that be if that's that? How could that be? Well, you're not supposed to think about it. This is fantasy. Just go with it, right? Well, in reality, past dependency says that if that happens, then it influences everything that comes after it. And that is that past dependency. So I say, take the Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of Bilalian history. Take the Honorable Elijah Muhammad out of the flow of the Black freedom movement from the time of you start wherever you want to start, wherever you want to start, and then let everything go, but don't put Elijah Muhammad in there. You tell me what you have in this world right here, right now, today. Unavoidable. Unavoidable. Can't get rid of it. I know you can get together with your network of people to put a scholarly coat of paint over your ideas that are designed to, like the others who wanted to deny the Big Bang, you want to deny the Big Bang of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You want to deny the Big Bang of Farad Muhammad. You want to deny the Big Bang of the Nation of Islam. No, that happened. That happened. And as such, that was the first resurrection. That was the evolution from that mud field to mud being molded into shape, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So we're at number two. That when the mud was put on the eyes, Imam Muhammad رحمة الله عليه brought our attention back to the fact that the blind man, that Isa, Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Quran says that Isa gave sight to the blind. And the Quran is a continuation, a commentary, a completion, and a correction on previous scripture. And God tells us in the Quran, look back. If you don't know that this or understand that this is the revelation from the Lord of the world, then go back to the people who received scripture before you and ask them. Excuse me, which is exactly what Khadija rahimahullahi alayha, may Allah be pleased with her, radiallahu anha, when she took Muhammad, who was, after his first experience of revelation, totally confused. He didn't know what he was experiencing. He thought he was going mad, etc. And his wife, radiallahu anha, Khadija, took him to her cousin, Waraka bin Nufayl, who was a student of scripture, and he explained to him that what you have experienced is what those inspired before you, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, had experienced. And so in the story of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the idea that Quran confirms that he gave sight to the blind, how did he give sight to the blind when we go back and look in the scripture because we don't have the details in the Quran? He took some spittle and he put it in some mud, and he put the mud on the man's eyes. Now, I didn't go back to the Bible to look at that specifically today, but I'm also reminded of something else that I think may be a part of that story. I think it was from some water from the pool of Siloam. I don't have to be right about that. Could be wrong, but we have a chance to look at it. In any case, we know that Jesus took mud and put the mud on the blind man's eye, and sight came back to the man, all right, American Negro, that came to the message of the lost, found Nation of Islam in the wilderness of North America. We'll get to that, inshallah, not today, but maybe over this weekend. Strong end. That is that. We couldn't see it. Let's go ahead and say this. In terms of the temple itself, as we were called at that time, people think about that shirk. Yes, there was definitely shirk in there. Bid'ah, yes, there was there. But that's more explicitly for people who know it. It was more shirk and bid'ah for Farah, who was a Muslim, quote unquote, though we know there are those who have the sectarian divisions, like, no, he wasn't a Muslim because he was Ahmadiyya, because of this or because of that. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, that's part of our problem right now. So The idea is that he knew what the truth was, but he also knew that those people that he was coming to, Elijah Muhammad included, did not know what the truth was. And he acted on a plan that he had in mind. And there's a measure where if you can understand it to be successful, and there's also a measure where you can understand it to be destructive. Allahu alam. Allah is the judge, and there's much hadith that I could give you for that, but we don't want to do that right now. The point is that the mud on the eyes was actually the first resurrection, where he put us in the dark with the symbolism, with the mythology, with Yaqub's myth, with the mother plane, with the deportation of the moon, with the island of Palan of Patmos, with the brown germ, black germ, with the tribe of Shabazz going down into Africa, la, la, la. All of that mud. All of that was mud. That was mud to put us in the dark. That was mud to cause us to not look out on the world and continue to be deluded and deceived and being misled by the illusion that the world has been able to cast outside of us in order to maintain us as the mud seal for its structure. And so we were brought into a new mind, brought into a new thinking, a new vision, a new way of seeing. We were quarantined. I think y'all know something about that. We were quarantined in such a way where no, nothing out there can affect you, infect you, and you can't infect what's out there. Get on to your own kind. Learn yourself, be yourself, know yourself, do for self. We were put into a new womb. And being put into a new womb, now we are beginning to be reborn again. We are ex-Negroes, we would say. That's why we took that X. Ex-Negro. And there's a little piece of that was coming. It's like, you cannot say Malcolm X without at the same time be saying Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm, da, da, da. Maybe that's why people say it like that sometimes, to keep that X keep that X hidden. Yeah, Malcolm. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Malcolm. Well, who? Malcolm Muggeridge? Who you talking about? Malcolm who? Who you talking about? If you're talking about Malcolm X, then you're talking about Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm. Oh man, no, he left Elijah Muhammad, man. He would do his own thing. He was already gonna be there. Go back to past dependency. Let's talk about that. Take Elijah Muhammad out of the world and tell me how you get Malcolm. Tell me how you get the Malcolm that you talk about. That's not the subject. We'll move on. Yeah, he left that. Okay, and then what he became? And what did he become? Say it. What is it? El Hajj. What? El Malik. What? El Shabazz. Where that come from? Malcolm found that in Mecca. Come on now. Stop continuing to be blind. You can't erase the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from the history of the world as it is right now. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we understand today is one where Imam Muhammad rahimahullah alayh completed the wudu that began in the temple. The temple was about wudu. That's why we weren't making salat. That's why we weren't fasting in the way. That's why we weren't on the ibadi methodologies in the right way as we could, because we had not been cleaned up enough for the proper ritual and the role of the temple and cleaned up. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. This is what was expected of him, is that my job is not to teach you religion. My job is to clean you up and take you to the door. There's one coming after me that's going to teach you the religion. And if that hasn't happened, you're not alive. You're alive, but you're not alive. The idea is that's the reality. I thought it was going to be unorthodox. That's the reality. And so that was the first resurrection. So when Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, when he came in, he washed the mud off of us. We were seeing, but we were seeing in the dark in the Nation of Islam. We were seeing in the dark. I had to walk through my house last night and it was dark. But I knew how to move in my house because I know where stuff is in my house. And Imam Muhammad told us, he said, look, you are in the dark, but would you rather be in the dark in your house or in somebody else? Yeah, I'd rather be in the dark. Yeah, we were in the dark, but we were in our own house. Huh? And in the dark in our own house, and we were in the process of making wudu. And so when Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, when he came, he completed the wudu. And he took the mud of mythology off of our eyes. He took the mud of blood consciousness, race, supremacy. He took those ideas away from us and introduced us to La ilaha illallah, Muhammad the Rasulullah. He brought us to that in its purity. And mashallah, it brings us to the door of number three. May Allah guide us to it. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد Oh Allah, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your blessings. We beg you for your forgiveness. We beg you for your guidance. Without your aid, without your assistance, without your protection, without your guidance, we are aidless, we are astray, and we are vulnerable to whatever the world wants upon us. Oh Allah, we pray that you would purify us in our motivation, purify us in our aspiration, purify us in our intention, purify us in our perception, purify us in our willingness, and increase us in our ability to make this world into the world that you would have us live in and the future generations of humanity to live in. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. We know you have guided us to the door. We know you have led us to the door. We know that we must be sincere and true to what we say we have accepted. Oh Allah, make us sincere and true to what you have guided us to. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah. So, a couple of announcements here. Alhamdulillah, the ongoing Islamic studies Zoom classes with Sheikh Abdul Rauf is always on Saturdays, right? Also, on Monday from 7 to 8 is going to be the beginning of Ramadan classes. Okay, so let me give you this. The ID is, get your pen and pencil. If you don't get it, then you have to get it later. 793-888-79535. 793-888-79535. That's the ID for the meeting. And then also, or the class, the password is 289307. This is on Zoom. 289307. So that's Monday. It's going to be a 5-week class. So Monday is the first. 5-week class from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's a 5-week Ramadan class, and it starts on the first. So that makes that this Monday, inshallah. And then also the Arabic class is Saturday. Use the same numbers to get to the Arabic class Saturday, 9 to 11 Pacific time. Also, NNAS Children's Program for ages 6 to 13 are always Tuesday and Saturday, $25 per student, $40 per family, and that's the monthly. Also, the NNAS Youth Business Loan Program for ages 9 to 18, you can apply for business loans to start a business, and we're also seeking loan sponsors. Contact Dr. Shuaib Peters for more information regarding the NNAS programs, mshspeters@gmail.com, and donations can be given through Master War Theme. Happy birthday to Dr. Hanifa Shuaib Peters, February 22nd. Also, Adam Omar Hamid, alhamdulillah, birthday February 28th. And also, Najia Turk Abdullah. Well, there's no February 29th, so she don't get to move on, I guess. February 29th, leap year. Alhamdulillah. And also commentary, the publication from the Imam or the publication of the documented teaching of Imam Wahid Muhammad, available $50. And if you are reaching us by mail, $10. Our interest is not profit at all. We're just making available. I understand the publication is going to take a couple of months to get some more out. We have a few here still. So you can reach her at 510, Amina, 510-859-5735, 510-859-5735, and don't pay before you hear back from her if you make that call. Don't pay. All right, make that call first. All right, February 27th, the Men's Group Saturday conference call. That is tomorrow, inshallah. Also, Masjid al-Warithin, you have a check-in Zoom on the 6th. Check your email for that. And if Amina doesn't have the information, make sure that she gets it. Also, July 3rd this year, inshallah, coming up, we're also going to have an open market fair. Details are pending. They are coming. And as of now, 45 days until Ramadan, alhamdulillah, and 75 days until Eid al-Fitr. And let's do all that we have to do to be prepared. Alhamdulillah.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يقرب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على تعب المسكين طويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والأرض إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم
الفاتحة
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
شكرا لك.
الله.